its breath, the unspoken question in the air. She's debating whether she should tell Malikov about the damage Falk's rifle did to the wormhole controls, wondering how she's going to break it to him that someone has to stay behind so the Mao and the Boop can jump across to Carenza. That not everyone is making it out of this alive. Instead, she thumbs the mic at her throat, opens a channel to the Mao. "Chief, this is Hannah. You're all clear to jump to the Carenza system. Once we pick up Ella, we'll be right behind you." She doesn't wait for Grant's response, shutting off her comms, glancing over her shoulder at the black and shimmering blue. Jump station Heimdall, drifting, broken atop that tear in the universe's face. The Mao, shifting its colossal bulk and preparing to dive across the brink. And somewhere, out in the dark, speeding closer by the second, Batek's incoming fleet. Soon. Soon she can rest. She turns back to Malikov, sighs from somewhere in her boots. "So, what's a girl got to do to get a lift around here?"
UTA Tribunal Transcript, Carenza Trials, Day 92. Chief Prosecutor, Gabriel Crowhurst. Chief Defense Counsel, Kin Hebi. Tribunal, Hua Li Jun. Saladin Al Makat. Chanel Jillian Chua. Witness, Leanne Frobisher, Director of Acquisitions, Batek Industries. Date 10-28-76. Timestamp 14:34 hours. Continued from page 869.
Crowhurst, G. Dr. Frobisher, I'd like to turn your attention to the final document in the Heimdall dossier, the acquisition team report from Operative Rapier, transmitted to your private address from the Heimdall network on 08-16-75 at approximately 22:54 hours.
Frobisher, L. I received no such transmission.
I'm afraid that's one of the many points on which we must agree to disagree.
Heavy K. If it please the court, will we be hearing a question any time in our future?
If you'd be so kind as to turn to page 638.
Acquisition Team Report, Batek Industries. Incident Incept, 08-16-75. Location, Jump Station Heimdall, Reactor Sector. Operative Ident, Rapier.
The station was shaking hard enough to tear itself apart by the time I made it to the Reactor Sector. The lightning, the tremors, the double vision, all of it was getting worse. And on top of it all, that fucking Lexi Blue song was still blaring over the PA. The station emergency systems trying to warn personnel about whatever was about to happen. Something bad, I figured. I reached primary reactor control and found the place an abattoir. Sensei, Mercury, Eden, hell, even Cerberus, KIA. The latter three were all dead of gunshot trauma, still pinned to the floor by their mag boots. But I was more than a little surprised to notice a teenage girl floating amid the blood and debris. She was typing away at the controls, a small line of concentration between her brows. She was stick-thin, long hair flowing around her face, pale skin, black fingernails. Suspended there in midair beside her, a small goldfish in a baggie full of water. Blinking hard, claw marks at her throat, pupils dilated wide. She looked down at me and I recognized her from my Dom Najab briefing files. Nick Malikov's cousin, Ella. She looked at me and smiled, shy, one finger twirling a lock of hair. Just a kid, really. "Jackson Merrick," she said. "You know, my femme Zoe had me dub a mix of y—" The shout got her clean, blew most of her brains onto the window behind her, sent her body pinwheeling backward through the air. The plastic baggie beside her burst, the fish inside wiggling frantically as it drowned in the blood-stained air. White light burst behind my eyes. A burst of static electricity sizzled in the air. The station shook like it was about to blow, tossing me hard enough that my mag boots got ripped from the deck and I went crashing into the wall. For a second, I thought this was it. Time to say goodbye. I wasn't sure how I felt about that. And then it stopped like someone flicked a switch. Green dots burned on the backs of my eyelids, and I tried to hurl on an empty stomach, and the whole station fell still as stone. The only sign of anything wrong was that goddamn pop song still blasting through the PA. I logged into Corps Command, pulled up vision from the station exterior. Heimdall looked like it had been through hell, its skin scorched, power fluctuating. The wormhole was flickering intermittently, like a faulty globe. And there, lurking at the edge of that failing blue, two ships. One was a shuttle, the Betty Boop. I had a pretty good idea who'd be aboard it. But first priority was Lieutenant Falk's ship, the Mao. Its engines were heating up. It was prepping to jump across the wormhole. Considering Falk and the rest of his team were floating dead in the room beside me, it didn't take any kind of genius to figure out Heimdall's crew and residents were making a break for it aboard the only ship left to them. A glance at the system told me Heimdall's defense grid was still active, operating at about 58%, more than enough. I logged into DGS, requested a kill priority on Falk's ship. Meanwhile, the shuttle was docking at the reactor, letting whoever was in it back onto Heimdall. But my eyes were on that freighter. If it got across the wormhole, it might warn Hypatia, might just get away clean. All this, everything, would have been for nothing. System rejected my kill command, so I logged in under Donnelly's ID. I'd scoped his password months before. Daughter's name and birth year. Not to original, our former commander. Then I requested a kill priority on Falk's ship, a secondary on the Boop. Missile turrets swiveled. Firing solutions fed into the targeting computer. I saw the Mao lunge forward, engines redlining, trying to scuttle across the horizon before DGS got a lock. It was a race, the inertia of a massive ship trying to accelerate versus a core full of limping, half-corrupted processors. Inertia lost. The Mao flared bright, missiles plowing into its hull and ripping it to pieces. A brief fireball blossomed out in the dark, the O2 inside burning away to nothing, chunks of wreckage and bodies tumbling through the frozen dark. Minutes passed. I heard footsteps. Mag boots clomping on the grill, growing louder. Slinging the rifle off my shoulder, I turned and aimed as a figure in Baytech tack armor barreled through the control room door. "Oh, God," she said. "Hello, Hannah." She'd taken off her helmet, those blue eyes fixed on the body floating behind me, blood drifting aimlessly without gravity to drag it down. The wall screen showing what was left of the Mao, the people inside it, her allies, her friends. Tears welled in her lashes, broke free as she blinked, glittering in the air around her. Rage boiled behind the sorrow as she turned on me, lips peeling back in a snarl, breath coming quick, hands and fists. "You bastard!" she breathed. "You killed them!" I caught movement behind her, a figure pushing himself down the corridor and out into the control room. He had no mag boots, at the mercy of zero grav, clutching a bank of consoles to arrest his forward momentum. Malakoff. His eyes fell on his cousin's body, that little ruined doll, floating in a halo of blood and water. "Don't move," I warned him.
"Ella! Nick, wait!"
Hannah warned. But that was it. There was no stopping him. The kid's glare fell on me, pure hatred boiling in his eyes. With a roar, he dragged a cleaver from his belt and lunged toward me as I opened fire. 3-round burst. Center mass. He bucked back, spinning in midair, the force of the bullets not quite enough to slow his charge. His broken, bleeding body flew past me, hit the wall with a series of wet thuds. Hannah screamed his name, took a step forward, halted as I trained the gun on her. Fury in her glare, jaw clenched, knuckles white. But even watching her boyfriend die in front of her wasn't quite enough to send her out of control. Her instinct for self-preservation was nothing short of amazing. She had guts for damn sure, one of the things I loved about her. Until she chose him. "I'm sorry it had to be this way," I said.
"You're sorry?"
She stared at me, bewildered, furious. But behind all that, even there, amid that carnage, I could see her brain ticking over, working the possibilities. Daddy's little girl, always looking for the edge, the angle, the strategy that would bring her out on top. Not this time.
"Jax, I
used to kiss her eyelids when she went to sleep in my arms. One kiss to each eye, a final one on her forehead as I'd whisper, "Sweet dreams, beautiful." That's where the bullet got her. Right on that smooth, expansive skin above her brow. That skin I'd kissed 1,000 times. One last kiss goodnight. Rocking her in her boots, head snapping back, blood in the blonde. "Sweet dreams, beautiful." And then it was over. "Director Frobisher, I'm sending this to you from Command and Control in Heimdall's Alpha Sector, exactly 7 minutes and 30 seconds after the destruction of the Mal. I can see a second fleet of drones incoming on Heimdall's short-range scanners. They should be here in about 5 minutes. From the size of the fleet, I can only presume they're here as your insurance policy. After all the trouble you went through to clean up this mess, I'm reasonably sure you're not willing to leave another one. You don't strike me as that kind of woman. Falk and his entire team are gone. Heimdall's staff and any residents were killed prior to or in the destruction of the Mal. I've already purged the computer systems of any and all data pertaining to events on the station after August 14th. I want you to know your hands are clean." I think I knew this was coming. The writing was on the wall for a long time now. "You said it yourself, right? I'm not naive enough to think anyone's getting out of this alive. I'm still not even sure how I feel about that. But maybe you could do me one favor. My dad still lives on Gia 3, on the Taiyang grid. I know you can't tell him the details, but if you could maybe get word to him that I did good. Did my job. Duty. Code. Loyalty. He'd want to know that. I think it'd make him proud. I'm gonna go wait in the atrium. Close my eyes in all that green. Listen to the waterfall. Breathe. This is Rapier, BT-PO-1789-I. Signing off."
End of file. UTA Tribunal Transcript, Carenza Trials, Day 92. Chief Prosecutor, Gabriel Crowhurst. Chief Defense Counsel, Kin Hebi. Tribunal, Hua Li Jun. Saladin Al-Makat. Chanel Jillian Chua. Witness, Leanne Frobisher, Director of Acquisitions, Baytech Industries. Date, 10-28-76. Timestamp, 14:51 hours. Continued from page 870.
Crowhurst, G. "What did you make of your agent's acquisition team report, Dr. Frobisher?"
Frobisher, L. "The report is a fabrication. along with most of this file. Lies, strung together by the so-called Illuminae group in a transparent attempt to pin the blame for this tragedy on Batek.
So you claim to have no...
Hebi K. What is that?
Al-Nakat, S. Bailiff?
Apologies, Your Honor. We seem to be having technical
Attention, UTA Tribunal. Attention, UTA Tribunal.
Chua S. Who is this? Identify yourself.
This is Hannah Donnelly.
Order! I said order!
Hua, LJ. How are you transmitting through our public address system? Hijacking United Terran Authority computer channels is a serious crime.
Sounds like I should get myself a good lawyer. You know a bunch, don't you, Director Frobisher?
Your Honor's defense objects.
Hello, Leanne. Surprised to hear from me.
This is exactly the sort of cheap showmanship that...
Your Honors, are we really going to be subjected to more cheap theater from the prosecution? We have no proof whatsoever that this criminal is who she says she is.
Run a voice comp scan, Mr. Hebby. You've already got my aural sig on dozens of radio files. I think you'll find they match pretty closely. Perfectly, in fact. And you still haven't answered my question, Leanne. Surprised?
Miss Donnelly, this is Gabriel Crowhurst, head of the prosecution.
We know who you are, Mr. Crowhurst.
I'm sorry, we?
The Illuminae Group.
Order! One more outburst and I will clear this courtroom.
Miss Donnelly, if you are who you say you are, and our technicians will be verifying your identity by voice comp, believe me, you must know this conversation presents a few logistical difficulties.
How so?
Well, according to the very files your group supplied us, you're dead.
You're right. That sounds serious. Should I take an oath or something? I, Hannah Alima Donnelly, do solemnly swear that I definitely exist.
Miss Donnelly, regardless of your claims, you, the Malakovs, the crew of Heimdall, you're all officially deceased. According to the acquisition team report the Illuminae Group gave the UTA, all of you were killed in Heimdall's final minutes by Samuel Maginot, a.k.a. Jackson Merrick, a.k.a. Rapier.
Defense objects. Your Honors, the prosecution is now conducting a conversation with a dead girl about the fraudulent testimony she and her terrorist organization supplied to a UTA tribunal. How long will this be allowed to continue?
I must concur, Mr. Crowhurst. Unless you...
Have you ever played poker, Your Honor?
Of course I have.
Then you know what a bluff is, right? Act like you've got a handful of nothing, sucker your opponent into a big bet, then drop your aces?
Are you saying...
I'm saying Rapier's report was written to make Batek think they had the winning hand. If the good Dr. Frobisher here believed the Heimdall was destroyed by her insurance fleet, and that Assault Fleet Kennedy was speeding on its way to destroy what was left of Planet Carenza after having already X'd out the Hypatia, then she'd believe she was safe. Batek would have no reason to hunt for witnesses when we were all dead. And that'd give us the time we needed to pull together this dossier and expose the crimes Dr. Frobisher and Batek had perpetrated on Carenza and Jump Station Heimdall.
I refuse to put up with this for another second.
Dr. Frobisher, sit down immediately.
This entire tribunal is a farce.
Counselor, you will control your client or so help me.
Miss Donnelly, if Samuel Maginot's report was indeed a fabrication, perhaps you might tell the court what happened in Heimdall's final minutes.
I'm glad you asked, but I can do better than tell you, Your Honor. I can show you.
Briefing note. Transcript of footage taken from internal intellicams aboard Heimdall.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Ella Malakova is floating over Heimdall's wormhole control system, typing furiously. Her hair is loose, a long black whip trailing behind her as she listens to the voice piping through her palm pad. Aiden's sexless, toneless inflection running her through the sequences to stave off the auto-shutdown systems. She's still half-dusted from the Lanimer toxin, pupils dilated, chewing her lip, eyes locked on her screens. And then, Operative Rapier enters the room. He takes in the scene at a glance. The bodies of the Baytech kill squad, his former comrades, Cerberus, Sensei, and the rest. Their corpses floating among hundreds of aimless tiny balls of scarlet and shell casings drifting in the zero grav. Ella glances up at the sound of his boots, eyes growing wider. "Jackson Merrick," she finally says. "You know, my femme Zoe had me dub a mix of ya." He raises his rifle, and the words die on her lips. But strangely, Rapier doesn't shoot. "What are you doing?" he demands. Ella's fingers are still tapping away on the keys, eyes locked on his. "Your boss shot the shit out of the system before he cashed out, secret agent boy. Shutdown sequence is trying to engage. Close the wormhole before the Mao can get away from those incoming drones." She stares at him coolly, unafraid. "And I'm stopping it, unless you stop me." Rapier glances up at the viewscreen against the wall. The bulk of the Mao turning toward the wormhole, thrusters flaring bright. 500 or so witnesses to the atrocities committed aboard Heimdall, headed toward the Carenza system, where Baytech can't touch them. In a minute or so, they'll be across the brink, out of reach. Footsteps ring in the corridor, mag boots thumping on metal. Rapier keeps his rifle trained on Ella, eyes shifting to the doorway as Hannah Donnelly barrels into the room, a halo of blonde floating about her pale, blood-spattered face. Blue eyes widen as she spies Rapier, breath catching in her lungs. Nick Malikoff pushes himself into the room behind her, hand going to the handle of the bloody cleaver at his belt as he catches sight of the rifle pointed at his cousin. "Merrick!" he shouts. "Nick, don't!" Hannah warns. The room is deathly still, the Mao pushing closer toward escape. "Hello, Hannah," Rapier says. "Jackson." Her hands are fists at her sides, muscle in her jaw twitching. "There's another drone fleet incoming," he says, eyes locked on hers. "Baytech sent a backup in case Falk dropped the ball. They're set to destroy this station and everything on it in about 12 minutes' time." "I know. Your little spider here tells me the wormhole controls are shot. Looks like one of you three is going to have to stay behind if the other two want to get away." Malikoff looks to the girl beside him. "Hannah?" Rapier glances at the kid, mouth twisting in a smirk. "Looks like she doesn't tell you everything, lover boy." Ella is still tapping away at the keyboard, eyes locked on the rifle locked on her. The Mao is only seconds away from breaching the wormhole now. Hannah is tense as a steel spring, Malikoff coiled behind her. If Merrick opens fire on Ella, the pair of them might still take him. The Mao might still get away, if he opens fire. If he opens fire. Except, he doesn't. The wormhole flares bright, a million ripples per second, blue light filling the control room as the freighter plunges across the breach. Twisting and stretching along the hyperspatial bridge, hurled millions of light years across the universe, hundreds of witnesses torn from Baytech's clutches who now might live to tell the tale. The whole time, Rapier doesn't move a muscle. The light dies slow, reflected in the narrowed, confused eyes of Nick Malikoff and Hannah Donnelly. Rapier is still staring at her. The girl he wrapped up in lies. The girl whose world he tore apart. The girl he once claimed to love. 10 minutes, he says. You three had better hurry. Malikoff glances at his cousin, who shrugs and shakes her head. Donnelly frowns. What are you saying, Jackson? It's not about what I say, right? It's what I do that matters here. Rapier lowers his rifle as he quotes her. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. I never wanted this. And like you said, I made promises. You remember, Hannah? She blinks then, eyes shining a touch too bright as she whispers, I remember. Rapier nods at the view screen, the wormhole and the Carenza system waiting beyond it. That's where you'll find them, just through there. Magboots clunking, he trudges around to the console beside Ella, watching her keystrokes, memorizing the patterns that will stave off the shutdown a moment longer. You better go, he finally says. Take the boop and run. Hook up with the Mao. Find the Hypatia. I don't know what comes next, but whatever you do, make it count for something. Why the hell should we trust you? Malakoff growls. Rapier glances at the boy and shrugs. What choice have you got? And what about Baytech, secret agent boy? Ella asks. They think we're still kicking. They're just going to set more dogs on our tails. They'll have a hard time following you, Rapier nods to the wormhole, and I can spin a lie to Frobisher that'll keep them off your backs. For a while, at least. The longer we stand here arguing about it, the less time I'm going to have to write it. Those drones are 8 minutes away. The cousins glance at each other. Ella shrugs. Go, Rapier says. Now! Malakoff grabs his cousin's hand, guides her across the room, her legs trailing behind her in the zero grav. She breaks his grip, pushes back to the console and snatches up a plastic baggie containing a small black goldfish. She glances at Rapier, rivers of dark hair drifting about her face, and with a small nod, she pushes back, away, past her cousin and down the corridor toward the boop. Malakoff takes Donnelly's hand, tugs insistently toward the hatch. Hannah, come on! She doesn't move, staring at Rapier. The boy who wrapped her up in lies. The boy who tore her world apart. The boy who claimed he loved her. Goodbye, Hannah, he says. Tears in her eyes. Rage, hate, sorrow. Only she knows. Hannah, come on! Finally, she allows herself to be led, out the hatch, down the corridor, into the boop and into the black, thrusters burning bright, hurling them into the gleaming blue, her eyes shining with the light of it. Beneath, between, beyond. Along the endless circle. Down the ceaseless spiral. And waiting for her on the other side? Just like he promised.
A whole sky of different stars.
UTA Tribunal Transcript, Carenza Trials, Day 92. Chief Prosecutor, Gabriel Crowhurst. Chief Defense Counsel, Kin Hebi. Tribunal, Hua Li Jun. Saladin Al Makat. Chanel Jillian Chua. Witness, Leanne Frobisher, Director of Acquisitions, Baytech Industries. Date, 10-28-76. Timestamp, 15:24 hours. Continued from page 876.
Crowhurst, G. That's quite a story, Miss Donnelly.
Donnelly, H. You don't know the half of it.
Frobisher, L. And we're supposed to give credence to this nonsense? I suppose the Betty Boop and the Mao found the Hypatia waiting for them on the other side of the wormhole. Champagne and medals for everyone. All wrapped up in a neat little bow.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, I certainly would. Your honors?
Chua S. It's a compelling tale, I'll admit.
Alnakat S. But there's one small problem with it.
Pray tell.
Miss Donnelly, Jump Station Heimdall was destroyed. Completely. Whether by this alleged drone fleet or not. The United Terran Authority has confirmed that nothing remains of the station but an ever-widening debris field. If, indeed, you and the Molokovs were reunited with the residents of Heimdall aboard the Mao, there was no way back to the central systems. You would have been trapped on the Carenza side of the wormhole, along with the crew of the Hypatia, with no means of returning. The trip back to the core would take thousands of lifetimes under conventional thrust.
Come to think of it, someone did mention that.
And with Heimdall destroyed, there would be no way to transmit from the Carenza system waypoint. So, it's literally impossible for you to be here talking to us right now. Miss Donnelly?
Okay, think about everything me and Nick and Ella and Katie and Ezra and all the others had been through. Leave aside the planetary invasions and kill squads, the mind-eating alien parasites and mass-murdering artificial intelligences for a minute. We'd just saved two goddamn universes from total annihilation after an interdimensional paradox event threatened to swallow them whole. You really think impossible was going to be a problem for us after all that?
I don't know, Miss Donnelly. Was it?
Hell no. We were just getting started. You want to know how it ends? Hope you've enjoyed this production of Gemina, The Illuminae Files Part 2 by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff. This program was directed by Aaron Spencer. Executive producer, Janet Stark. Sound design by Heather Scott and Ted Scott. Edit by Lisa Bainey. Text copyright 2016 by LaRue Industries, PTY Limited, and Never After, PTY Limited. Production copyright, 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.